Tonight's sermon is entitled, "And She Said Yes." Now, if you're not married yet, or maybe you're trusting God for a spouse, please guard your heart. We're not going to stay focused on that, so don't worry. But I know it might be sensitive to some people, but a part of it is a slight bit tongue-in-cheek, so please just bear with me. But who's ever got that message or saw that post on Facebook where they just fling the bling and have the hashtag, "She said yes"? Anybody seen that? Who just leaps with joy when they see that? Who cringes? Or who thinks like, "What the? They? Did they really? Are they really?" And so there might be a couple of different ways in which you've seen that, but it is also a beautiful moment. May we say that? It is a beautiful moment. It really sucks when he asks and the hashtag, "She said no." That just, it doesn't work that well. It's not cool. But it is beautiful, and it is a beautiful sacred moment if it's a godly covenant to be, may I say that, where if you see that, you can really rejoice. What does it speak of to us? Of those two people getting married? Yes, I know. What else does this speak of to us? Covenant, yes. What else? Pietri mentioned something about seeing Christ one day again. But there's another thing that we will see Christ one day again. And in what form would that be? We are His? Right. I know for some guys, especially the guys from the other side of the Orange River, the Blue Bull guys, like, "Right, me, why?" But it's biblical, it's scriptural, so don't worry. I know sometimes it is tough for us as men to understand it, but as you grow in the Lord, as you grow in the Word, you realize, wow, I'm a part of the bride of Christ. So tonight we're going to continue. Pietri kicked off a while back already, saying we need to raise our expectations, have great faith. I shared on David, and I believe it's a time where God is lifting up people like He did David, but we need to have expectation. In other words, we need to have faith. Then Debia jumped into a sermon that he did on Gehazi or Gehazi, Gehazi, and he just stirred our hearts again for what is the faith? What is the way in which you see things? Him reflecting about our country. Do you see in the spirit what God is busy with, or do you see all the stats, and do you see all the problems and issues? Brilliant sermon once again. Go and listen to it. But the theme that I do see, expectation, faith, God coming, doing something sovereignly, and our spiritual eyes needing to be open. And even tonight in ministry, what I do sense the Spirit is saying to us as a church is, what are you seeing? And what are you looking at? Johan also said we need to focus on Jesus in intercession. Stephen said, guys, I believe we need to step back so that we can have God's perspective. So from everywhere, I don't try to force this, but from everywhere, I believe the Lord is saying, what are you seeing? And are you seeing with spiritual eyes? Or are you seeing with carnal eyes as the world and as the culture we live in? And so we are going to trust tonight that as I quickly share this message, hopefully with you, that the Lord will enable us to see. Who felt that they came into church, maybe a bit lukewarmish, it's a long weekend, lots of things of the flesh, maybe you've not been in full form spiritually, but who came into the Lord's presence, worshipped, saw the Holy Spirit started to move, the Lord ministering to us, and then realizing, but I'm starting to see again. It's as if I'm awaking again to the things of the Spirit. Anybody like that? I would surely hope so. All four of us, great. Okay, that's a good start. As for the rest of us, joke. I just pray that the Lord will, as we encounter Him and His Spirit, that He will open up our eyes so that we can see spiritually. What? In line with the Word of God. And so tonight we are going to do exactly that. Lord, thank You for this time. Lord, thank You for Your Word. May our faith not be based on my words, but Your Spirit and power. Lord, I pray for our eyes that You will open it, only to see what You want us to see, what we are called to and anointed to see, but that we will have eyes of faith. Lord, that we can truly live out Scripture as Christians, to live by faith, to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. That we will be such Christians that actually walk by faith and not by carnal sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So my quick question to you is, what are you seeing at the moment? If you needed to be raw, honest, honest conversation, remember it's a theme coming through tonight, seeing in conversations. What are you seeing at the moment? Please don't be too rough. We are at church, but please keep it real. What are you seeing at the moment in your life? Are you seeing destruction? Are you seeing... Thank you. There's an honest nod there. Destruction, yes. What are you seeing at the moment? Anybody? Any 2-3 takers? Yuan, what are you seeing? Hope in the chaos. That's brilliant. What else? What are you seeing at the moment? It need not be positive or negative. It just needs to be honest. What are you seeing at the moment? Hey, Sonskainer. What are you seeing? Drama. I see work. I see drama. But that is honest. What are you seeing at the moment? Struggle for restoration. That's honest. That's real life. Anybody else? Any last takers? What are you seeing at the moment? No? Another chance. That's good. And so we are constantly facing this theme in our lives, not only in this season as a church. What are we seeing and what are we doing with that? And is it scriptural? And are we seeing the things of God? Because here's the thing. Where's your focal point? Who knows what a focal point is? A focus point. X marks the spot. Yes? So where is your focal point at the moment? And no, again, it's not me on the stage. Where's your focal point? Petri might say, work Tuesday. Petri might say, no, 2 weeks' time. Another guy might say, well, month end is my focal point. That is my focus. That is, a runner might say, well, it's the finish line. The question is that you're seeing and where you focus is two very important things in your life, right? So where's your focal point? Where do you focus? And how far down the line are you willing to look? How far down the line are you willing to look? Some seasons call for us to take it step by step. Some of us might be in a more comfortable position and you can focus on retirement. So some of us might look ahead a day, some of us 2 weeks, some of us might have the grace in our hearts to say, I just want to get to retirement. Anybody like that? We won't judge. Anybody looking further than retirement? I don't know. I'm not sure what that is. We're on unsafe ground now. But anybody looking further than retirement? Well, that's a problem, church. All Christians should have their focal point at least on the other side of retirement, right? We can't live carnal lives focused upon here, today, tomorrow, maybe a week or a month, maybe month end, maybe next season, maybe this new contract, maybe this new relationship, friendships, maybe this church. No, we need to have a focal point that is a bit further than that. We need a focus that's a bit more further than that. To be a people to see the things the way God sees them. I would like us to have, like a good bride to be, to have our eyes focused on the wedding. How much of your time and heart and eye is spent upon your eyes and your faith upon the wedding to come? Does it even equate in your life that I'm preparing myself for a wedding? Anybody? I guess you don't get up and think, oh man, I need to be ready. I need to get ready for this wedding. But I believe Christians are called to do so. Last week, beautifully, talent shared out of Joel 2 saying, we are a people that are in the Joel 2 time. In other words, it is a time where the promise of the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament was given and poured out upon all people. We have the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing. So the Holy Spirit was promised to us, but tonight we'll quickly have a look that the Holy Spirit also is a promise to us. Quickly, you need to take this one in. The Holy Spirit not only was promised to us, but the Holy Spirit also carries a promise for us. Do you have that? Did you bank that? Because that's important. That is important to a believer. That is important to our seeing. That is important to the focal point of our lives and our being. I hope that makes sense. Because the word in preparation, not only today, but for Bible school and what was briefed, I believe, last week that stirred in my heart was the word Arabon. Who's ever heard the word Arabon? Great. So, except for two of you, there's a couple of you that's in for a surprise. So we're going to jump into a letter from Paul to the church of Ephesus. And he's writing to them like he's maybe indirectly writing to us. And he wants to encourage them to be a people to see, to to have their focal point, their focus right, and to be able to remember what they have so that they can endure the race. Who needs encouragement to endure their race? Who needs encouragement just to get through tomorrow? Often many of us. And so I believe the Spirit wants to encourage us. So Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, as we said. These are Christians, members of the church, and he's writing this to them, but indirectly we can read it and receive it for ourselves. Let's read through it slowly, but let's keep up and let's make sure that this ministers to us. Ephesians 1:7. We have redemption in him through his blood. Many of these things you might think, well, I know that, but often it's good to be cleansed and washed again by the water of the word. Hey, yes, I'm redeemed. I'm washed clean by the blood of Jesus. So let's continue. In him through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, that word we stood still on, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So God gave all of this to us. It sounds good. He made known to us the mystery of his will. Guys, the whole world is going on out there. Not everybody, but many people are going out there and they have no clue of the mystery of God's will. We are fortunate to know the mystery, or much of the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, that he planned in him, that's Jesus, for the administration of the days of fulfillment. That word's important. So it's a lot of big words Paul's writing to them. They had probably lots of time to read and reread and reread, as we should. But he's just saying, hey guys, I'm just stirring your faith. Remember that God had planned this thing, and it all boils down to this point where he's going to bring all things back to fulfillment. Who knows that we're not in that space yet? You could just open up the paper. You're going to just open up your tablet. You could just look sometimes at the state of the world, and you realize all has not been fulfilled by God yet, but he will. And here's the thing. Do you believe that he will bring all things back to fulfillment in Christ? That he will make all things right again? To bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth. And so there's this culmination of the plan of God that is going to come to a head, that's going to come to an end, where we're like, wow, he actually had a good plan. And I'm thankful that I'm a part of the bride. Man, he actually stopped all the tears and the brokenness and the mess that we saw. And he had a gracious plan all along. And your spirit man needs to hear that tonight again. That he is a good God that will bring all to fulfillment again. Verse 11. We have also received an inheritance. Who likes an inheritance? Who likes an inheritance? Of course. Oh, be real. We have also received an inheritance in him, predestined according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision of his will. Lots. Romans 8:28 says, he lets everything work out what? For the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So scripture echoes this. God has a plan. He's going to work it out. And we're going to have a full inheritance. And it's going to be big and it's going to be good. Who wants that? Do you want that, actually? Do you want that? There's a whole world. There's billions of people that does not want it. Do you want it? I'll take their share. If you don't want yours, I'll take yours as well. Because I want it. Because God has graciously given me eyes to see that I need to bait fuss because I want the inheritance. And I want us to not be stirred emotionally, but to be stirred by our spirit to realize, whoa, he's busy with a plan I'm going to inherit. I need to trust him. Verse 12, so that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to his glory. Here's the two verses that is important, 13 and 14. Listen up. Paul's writing, let's say to us tonight, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, again, basic stuff, but it's important, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance. Other translation says the earnest. We'll get to it now. He is the down payment of our inheritance. Who wants an inheritance? If you can't get the full inheritance now, do you want a piece of it now? Three, four of us. Do you want a piece of it now? Yes. A down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. Lots of big words. We're going to quickly unravel that just now. Stay with me. Four more verses. But He is now encouraging them again as He's encouraging us through the Spirit. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, Shofar Table View, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, we know who we're talking about, would give you, listen up, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, He will open up your eyes in the knowledge of Him, that we will understand these things. I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened. Other translation says that the understanding of your mind will be enlightened. He's just like, ek hoop jy sien dit. That's actually what Paul's writing in big Paulish words. Ek hoop jy klik. Ek hoop die ligte gaan aan. Ek hoop jy sien wat hy vir jou doen. And that's what I'm imploring, and I believe what the Spirit is saying to us in this time. I hope you see what He's done and what He's got planned. It's massive. The enemy would love to blind us. The world and the culture and the demonic forces in this world would love to blind us. He says, I wish that you would just see. I pray that the perception of your mind and enlightened, etc. What are the glorious riches of His inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power to us who believe according to the work of His vast strength? So ultimately He's just saying, hey guys, He's called you. If you believe, you've been sealed. If you're sealed, you get a down payment. We like the word payment. That gets us thinking. But He gives you a down payment of His Spirit. So that is a sign that He will fulfill all. The rest is coming. I want to see if your inheritance, guys, the rest is coming. The rest is coming. Don't think money now. But the rest of the fullness of God is coming. Do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. We have a good Father with a good plan. He's just saying, I want you to see, I want you to see, bait fast. May you have understanding to see what you have and what lies ahead. So this thing of inheritance, we've now seen like God is coming to fulfill all things at the end. There's something good coming. We've only received a portion of that, but we need to keep steadfast hope that we will receive that fullness. So quickly tonight, our focus is the following. The encouragement that we carry and that we find in the evidence of the earnest or the arabon. Again, I'm going to explain what arabon is just now. There is a great grace of the Lord to encourage us tonight to say that the arabon, that the earnest, that the down payment is something to stir your heart, that something big is still coming. What does this mean? Let's have a look. When you heard, verse 13, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in Him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Lots of words. It just echoes what we said in John 7, that everybody who believes will receive what? The Holy Spirit. Quickly turn to your neighbor and say, do you believe? Did they say yes or no? Anybody know? No knows. Okay, great. So now I can stand upon Scripture and say that everybody in this church building tonight has received the Holy Spirit. Obviously, I push it a slight bit. That's charismatic talk, but you hear what I'm saying. To everybody who believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Guys, let's not mock around about the greatness of this gift, this down payment of the portion of our inheritance that we have. Let us awake to this reality. There's no big words that I can shout out louder to awake us to the reality of what we carry. What we carry is massive. There are people not carrying this, that will never carry this, that will never see the fulfillment of Christ to come, that will never receive that inheritance and will end up in hell. And this is a real thing. We are not following Christ because we're scared of hell. But it's part of the package, it's part of the reality. And if anything should encourage us, is that I'm carrying a down payment already. I'm carrying the earnest already. verse 14, it says he is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the glory of God. Lots of big words. What does it mean? The King James says the following, which is the earnest of your inheritance. Now, what is the earnest? Earnest, if you go look at the Greek, means arabon. It is actually derived from a Hebrew word. So, you can go to the next slide. The arabon, next slide. Sorry, I'm a bit quick there. Thank you. There's the arabon at last. What is this word that gripped my heart and gripped my spirit? And when I said it at Bible school, Petri's eyes lit up as if I said ice cream. Arabon means of coffee, a pledge that is part of a purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest, an earnest or arabon. Who knows what a deposit is? Who's ever paid a deposit? Why do you pay a deposit? To secure your purchase. That is well said, young lady. Thank you. That is exactly it. It is to secure your purchase. A deposit is giving, an earnest is giving, an arabon is giving to secure your purchase. So you have the Holy Spirit. Guess what? God is saying, here is the deposit. Here's the guarantee. If God gives a guarantee, what does that mean? It is an actual guarantee. So the moment you realize the Spirit is in me, the Spirit is operating in me, the earnest, the arabon, the down payment is in me, it means that something is coming. He will fulfill the complete transaction one day. I'm going to receive my full inheritance and I'm fully going to belong to Him. Every part of me. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? What is the other thing I realized about a deposit? If you forfeit the agreement, what happens to your deposit? You what? You lose it. Have you seen God lose His Spirit? Sorry, I have to do this. We need to get the point across. This is important. The mere fact that He's given you His Holy Spirit and He's God, saying this is a guarantee, means He will not go back on His word. He will fulfill. You're going to have the full inheritance. He's going to do the whole thing. Because He's not going to lose His deposit. He's not going to lose His Spirit. And He's not going to lose you. That is a pretty good promise. That is a pretty good promise. So when you pray in your heavenly language, you don't know what you're praying, but this is sure evidence that the arabon is alive in me. And one day, God's going to fulfill on the whole deal. And I'm going to have a full inheritance in everybody, hopefully in my family. And those I walk with that carries the arabon, that carries the deposit, that carries the down payment, the earnest. They are going to receive the fullness because God will not go back on His guarantee. That is good news. That is something to stir your faith again. That is something that you would hope your whole street, community, workforce, family will also receive if they believe in Jesus. And here's the thing. It's not just airy-fairy. It's not fluff and bubbles. It's not just words on a wall. It is real. I experience the person of the Holy Spirit. I experience the person of the arabon. I pray by the grace of the arabon. I walk in the gifts of the arabon. Each and every time the Spirit uses me and you, it's again echoing, He's coming back for you and me. This lekker. Deposit in die bank. It becomes more beautiful than just deposit. I don't like the imagery so much, but it works for our Western culture. God is just saying, my Holy Spirit is a deposit, a security for the full payment, for the full performance, and the full inheritance to come to you as my children. I think that's pretty wild. And it's not just this one verse that I went to go look for and scratch out to make a sermon about it. The arabon, the earnest, is elsewhere in Scripture as well. You read it in 2 Corinthians 1, 10-22. For all the promises of God are yes and amen, we know that, to the glory of God through us. Now, He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. God anoints us, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Guys, that's a pretty good guarantee. This is better than a Toyota Bucky, really. Honestly, this is better than Rooikrans. This is actually a slight bit better than the Stormers next Saturday against the Bulls. Sorry, I'm just checking if everybody's awake. This is massive. If we can see this, realize, and live daily in this reality, teach it to our kids, alert them to the reality that whatever you face, the storms, the contrasts of this life, this upside-down world, that if you can hold on to the fact that you have the deposit, the guarantee, the down payment, the earnest, the arabon, you have it in you, and it's evident, you are set up for life, eternal life, with a focal point not here, a focal point there. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, now he who has made us and prepared us for his very purpose is God, who gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee, a down payment, and a fulfillment, just another confirmation. And here is where it gets beautiful, and here is why the title is, and she said yes, because the answer, or the, not the answer, but the title should actually be saying, and we say yes, or we said yes. Now, how is this applicable to the arabon? It is beautiful that if you go look at it, we now know the commercial side of the arabon, the deposit, the guarantee, the down payment, we understand that. But if you go read up, and I did a fair bit of reading because I've heard this before, but I just went to go and double check it. I'm going to read from the Vine's Expository Dictionary to you. You can go to the next slide. You can skip that one for the sake of time. Yes, there. Originally, earnest money deposited by the purchaser and forfeited if the purchase was not completed. Arabon was probably a Phoenician word introduced into Greece. We know this by now. In general usage, it came to denote a pledge or earnest of any sort. So in the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit is this pledge of the future blessedness, the full inheritance that we will receive. But here down below, then comes this final sentence. In the modern Greek, arabon is also an engagement ring. It is an engagement ring. Why on earth? When God sent his son Jesus to us and he came to lay down his life, he then said, go and wait for me. 50 days later was Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost? He gave us the arabon. What was the arabon? Arabon was the engagement ring that he gave to believers, saying, I'm going to my Father to prepare for you a home. Why does he do that? Because as the culture had it, a husband would engage his wife. They will get engaged. He will give her an arabon, a down payment. He will give her a ring and say, you just hang on tight, love. I'm going to go to my Father's house and I'm going to prepare a house for us. Then I'm going to come back and fetch you. But you are mine already. You are mine already. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit is to us. God, through his Son, saying, you are mine already. So Christ then went back to his Father, and in this time as we speak, he's preparing for us a place. And then when the time is right, and none of us know when it is, please don't listen to people that tell you they know when it is, because the Bible said we don't know. And then when the time is right, and when the bride, us, are prepared, he's coming back, and he's saying, I'm coming to fetch you. Fulfillment. Believers, I believe our focal point should not be next year, next month, tomorrow. Yes, we can plan. Yes, we can live. Yes, we can breathe and do our thing. It should not be retirement. Everything but. It should be, when is he coming back? Because I'm carrying the arabon. When is he coming back? Because I've got the engagement ring and I'm not my own anymore. I'm ready for him. I'm preparing myself for him with the bride. And that is our call as a church, to ready the bride so that he can come back to us who carries the arabon. Does he come back for those who does not carry the engagement ring? No, unfortunately not. And to pray for them and to petition for their salvations. And so I just thought this be beautiful. And so the two things that we take from this that is important, that stirs our hope, the two things are very simple. May the evidence of the arabon encourage your heart. May the fact that you carry the Holy Spirit encourage your heart, that he is coming back for you. Does that stir your heart? So you're thinking, oh man, how am I going to pay my debt? Oh, when am I going to get married? Oh, where am I going to work? All of those things, I'm not knocking them, but they they kind of find their place in rank of value, in rank of true importance. If I plan for the future, but all of these things just go down the line of value when you realize this is what I am doing, this is what I'm living for as a Christian. This is why I carry the arable. And when you forget, and when you're in a tough season, like some of us putting up our hands, then you just say, Lord, I want to sense your presence upon me again. I want to be reminded of the fact that the word says, I have the ring. I'm wearing the ring. I'm not just floating through life on my own. I'm carrying a ring. Stir my heart again. Lord, stir my faith that you are coming back and that I am yours and you are mine. And so that is our focus, that the fulfillment is coming. And the second thing, so the one thing is to stir your heart and your faith. The other thing is, may the arabon be evident upon your life. Who's ever met a girl that recently got engaged that did not notice it? And if you don't notice it, she'll make sure you notice it. Hi, gaan het kus warm vandaag. Shoo. Oh, hare. Tee, nog tee. Ja, wat is dat klip aan jou vinger? Ach, toch je vrouw nooit. Ek is verloof. Sorry for the Afrikaans. I just do this stupid stuff better in Afrikaans. But you will know if somebody is betrothed to get married to somebody else and carrying something on their finger, because they will show you. And I want to ask you, is that how you carry the ring of the arabon in your Christian life? Is the arabon evident upon my life? Firstly, sorry all other false gods, but I'm engaged. I can't bow before you. And no, you can't prepare a home for me, Mammon. Sorry, I'm going with Jesus. Sorry, Mammon, I can't marry you. Sorry, job, I can't marry you either. Sorry, culture, not going to get married to you. I'm not going to bow down before you because I have an arabon. I have a ring. I've said yes to my Lord. I've said yes to my husband-to-be. I've said yes, and I'm carrying him, and it's supernatural. It's spiritual, but I'm carrying it. So sorry, I'm offline. I'm not available. Not only that, we need to make people jealous with our ring. Can you make people jealous with the arabon upon your life? Not in an ungodly way, but in a humble way. Can you make them jealous to see, but where does that life come from in that weird guy down the street or that weird guy at church? What is it that he's carrying upon his life? What is that thing that he or she is carrying? Because these are the three things that will just show other people and encourage your heart. It's the fruit of the Spirit. This is what should be seen by the ring I wear. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. And then the gifts, even more so, when we prophesy and when we speak a word of knowledge or wisdom, when we have a gift of faith and really operate in crazy God-given faith, then other people need to go like, whoa. Something different. There's something different. Not that Retief is different, but he's carrying something of the Lord. Not Peter is different, but he's carrying something of the Lord. One is that I also want to be betrothed to Jesus, our King. I want that on my life. Because you see, an engagement ring should be seen. Yes, the Holy Spirit does things that hide certain things, obviously. But a life and lifestyle truly carrying the ring of Christ, of ring for Christ, should be seen. And the third thing is very simple, is that I have my prayer language. No, don't go walking in canal walk, praying out loud in your prayer language. No, but it is something that is supernaturally stirring your faith and stirring your heart and giving you insight of the things of God so that you can be a blessing to other people. There's many more. I just quickly put down three very basic ones to say that the Holy Spirit is not just this side thing issue. There's a real manifestation if God's Spirit is on your life. It looks like something. And it looks like the fruit, it looks like the gift, and it looks like the ability and the grace to pray in your own personal prayer language, heavenly language, to stir your faith. And so that you may know that I have this ring in the Spirit and that I'm thankful for it. Let's Let's stand together as we just close in prayer. It's a season where the Lord is hopefully stirring up our expectations of life and life and Christian life. He's stirring us and maybe convicting us, leading us into moments of repentance, but then also stirring our faith and cleansing our eyes that we can biblically, by His grace and Spirit, see again. That we don't see tomorrow, we don't only see figures and culture and life and Eskom, but we see the things of heaven, the things of eternity, and the things of God. That needs grace. And so as He opens up our eyes, He also reminds us. He doesn't give His Spirit to us tonight afresh. I believe all of us already has His Spirit. But He reminds us of the grace that we can dust off the ring. We can dust off the arabon. As the five wise virgins had to, what, fill their lamps. Through intimacy with the Lord, we can ensure that the grace of the arabon, this engagement ring, is clear and evident upon our lives, not so that we can show off our arabon, but that we can stir our hearts to know that this is not the end of my story. 65 or 70 or 75 or 80, whenever you decide to start to play golf or rollball or whatever we do as humans, is not the end of the story. That's also just part of preparation for the return of the wedding feast, the fulfillment of all things, and the receiving of what? Your full inheritance. Let's pray. Jesus, thank You for this time together. Thank You for highlighting the arabon, Holy Spirit. Thank You that we have received this down payment. The full potential of God and His breath and His Spirit is in us. We can see healings. We can see heaven invade earth now already. But we also know that in all of life, You will only one day fulfill all things and bring them back into balance and the absolute redemption grace in Christ Jesus. And so thank You, Lord. You would just want to come and stir our hearts and remind us that we already carry something supernatural. It is supernatural. It is not of earth. It's not carnal. It's not man-made. It's not made up. It does not belong to a denomination. It belongs to Jesus. And we carry it. What grace. And so, Holy Spirit, even those that say, I don't feel the Holy Spirit, I pray that You will start manifesting in a different way in lives. If that's you saying that, I know by faith in the Word, I trust in the Word that I have the Holy Spirit, but I don't experience the Holy Spirit really. And you want to experience more of the arabon, more of this, the Holy Spirit. Just raise your hand quickly that I can pray. Just nice and high. If that is you, I want to experience. Lord, You see these hands. We say, Lord, have Your way. Have Your way. Have Your way. Have Your way, Holy Spirit. Have Your way. They have You already, but I pray that You will fan that flame in their hearts, that You will come and sprinkle and cleanse the waters over them, Lord, and that You will just come and manifest Yourself more and more so that the ring can be clear. That the ring can be clear. We do not, or twyfel nie. We don't second guess the fact that we have it, but we want to experience, we want to see and experience the Holy Spirit more. So thank You, Lord. Over these hands, we just ask that grace. And even afterwards, if you want more prayer, you're welcome to come. And then for those that lastly, that just want the Lord to encourage their hearts and to carry this hope that He will actually come back and He will restore all and fulfill all. If that is you, just saying, Lord, help me to see that again and to shift my focal point from next year or 10 years or 20 years down the line, but just shift my focal point to the marriage supper of the groom and his bride. If that is you, just saying, Lord, help me to see again what lies ahead eternally. Just raise your hand that we can do a simple prayer together. If that is you, thank You, Lord, for these hands. Thank You, Lord, that You will just come and heal our hands and heal our hearts, but then come and shift our eyes, Lord, so that we may see the things that are eternal, the things of God who is Spirit, and not get fixated about the things of this world, Lord. Not look down below, but look up to what lies ahead and look forward to the fullness of the inheritance, the fact that You will fulfill this whole transaction that You've mentioned. But more beautifully said, that You will come and that Jesus, the bridegroom, will be united to His bride, who is pure, spotless, without blemish, and ready for Him for eternity. Help us to see that and live that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.